Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au. Open House around Australia with Lee Hatcher. And now, the human condition.
Which is another treat for us, a first time segment that I hope you won't want to miss each week on our program. It's an idea I've had for ages, and I'm so glad to see it come to fruition from tonight. It is the human condition, as you just heard, with my very special guest, clinical psychologist and author Lynn Worsley. Each week, Lynn and I will be exploring every fascinating, absorbing aspect of what it takes to be truly human. We've got such a list of topics, already includes everything from love and fear to hope, conflict, marriage, families, relationships, death, love, joy, passion, and it will go on and on. Each week, Lynn will be in the studio to take your calls about your human condition, if you choose. So if you want to give us a call, 1-300-40-2020. Lynn, this is just going to be such a brilliant part of Open House. Thanks so much for agreeing to be part of it.
It's great to be here.
Welcome.
It's really good to be with you.
Good on you. We should probably begin with a brief introduction. Tell us the Lynn Worsley story.
Okay. Well, I come to radio with a very varied background. I started my career as a registered nurse, and while doing my nursing training, I also worked as a youth worker on the streets, and that influenced me enormously. I was trained with Fusion Australia, and that sort of led on to a number of choices in my career. I then worked as an early childhood director, and then taught in TAFE with early childhood students before I ended up becoming a registered psychologist, and now a clinical psych, working in counselling and training and consulting. And I'd like to say it's been really quite a wonderful journey.
I'm sure it has been. With a specialty in resilience, which is what we'll be looking at tonight, resilience in life generally, and we'll be looking at four different aspects of resilience in the coming few weeks. You've actually written a great book on this with an intriguing title called The Resilience Donut. Is this your obsession with donuts or resilience, or a bit of both?
It's a bit of both. Yes. It's a bit of both.
Just explain the concept, just briefly.
Well, I can explain the concept of resilience to start with, which I'll probably help you with the concept of the resilience donut. But the resilience itself is not just about being able to bounce back. It's about being able to navigate and negotiate with your environment. So you can have a really tough environment and you may have the skills to negotiate with it, but you may not have those skills. And so it's about the ability to work with this, with your environment, and be able to navigate with that. And that explains the donut. So the donut is a bit like a donut. It's in the shape of a donut.
Different sections of the donut?
That's right. That's right. So we have the internal part of the donut, the internal circle, and the external circle. And the internal circle is like what you have inside you, the strengths that you have inside you, like your ability to call out for help and your ability to do things to change your circumstances. And also the things that you believe in yourself, your self-esteem. But the external part of the donut is about your environment. So it's about various aspects of your environment. And the resilience donut says there's seven parts or seven contexts where you learn those skills that you have in the inside of your donut.
Hmm. What are resilient people like, and what are the elements of life that shape a resilience? Because obviously some people are more resilient than others.
Yes. Some people seem more resilient than others, but most of us are resilient at different times of our lives and less times of our lives. But when you are resilient, you're more optimistic, and people who are more resilient than others are those optimistic opportunists that do things a bit more easily than others, or think more easily than others about possibilities and opportunities. They see that the things are that trauma is more like an opportunity than a threat. But there's also the resilient people have really good ways of trying to work their way out of into solutions rather than being stuck with problems.
My guess is some people are born more resilient than others.
No.
That's interesting.
No. People develop resilience, and resilience itself is a process. So it's not something that you're born with, and that some people have a resilience trait. It's that there's a wonderful quote from one of the wonderful researchers on resilience, which says that it's the ordinary everyday magic of people's ordinary lives that enables resilience to occur.
So how am I going to then develop into a more resilient person, do you think?
You're going to work with your environment. And so if you're going to develop as an adult to become more resilient, you'll start looking around at what's working in your environment. And you'll start relating to that. And in your environment, there are many, many relationships. And God's placed us in a world where we are to form relationships. And so relationships are the key to building resilience and building your own internal abilities and skills and how you deal with people.
And in the midst of really difficult and challenging relationships, how am I going to be more resilient there?
Yes, and oftentimes we're stuck with a lot more challenging, some people are stuck with more challenging relationships than others, and that really challenges them and sometimes sets them up for some really awful trauma.
Mm.
And again, that probably affects whether they're resilient in the future.
Is my self-talk, what I say to myself in my head about a circumstance, about a person, about myself, is that going to help me become more resilient?
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. But your self-talk also comes from your experiences that you've had with other people. So again, what we need to do is to start looking at our relationships and how we are forming those relationships. Sometimes we form relationships that have habitually difficulties, and we need to start looking at that and sometimes purposefully changing some of the ways that we relate to people.
Clinical psychologist and author Lynn Worsley is with us on our very first segment of The Human Condition. And if you'd like to check your own resilience or your human condition, or maybe you're struggling or needing a bit of steel in your backbone, you may have your own story of how resilience has played out in your own life or in the life of someone you know, give us a call on 1300 40 20 20 from wherever you are around Australia. You can post a comment on our new Facebook page, Open House Community. Lynn, I wonder if or where Christian faith fits into the resilience question, because I know, and I've met some remarkably tough and enduring and robust and resilient people in my life who'd be proud of saying, I don't make it through with a crutch. I do this independent of faith. And they do get through.
And of course they do, yes. Yeah. And faith is a part of that for some people. But of course you don't have to be a Christian or have a faith in order to be resilient. Resilience itself is not necessarily about being a nice person. So it's about being able to navigate and negotiate with your environment to be able to sustain.
Can we become more resilient by relying on God, do you think?
Yes, yes. But not just relying on God. God doesn't work in a way that's just him. He works in a way that is through relationships.
Yeah.
So God places us in churches. He places us with people. He places us with relationships. And it is in the context of those relationships that we learn the skills that we need in order to be.
He's not a Santa in the sky.
No.
Dispensing endless bags of lollies.
No.
Because he will sometimes shape, well, I think more often than not, shape us in the form of the challenging stuff of life.
Absolutely. And oftentimes it's the adversity that we grow through. And it's times those that adversity enables us to be able to develop the resilience skills that we need for the next set of adversities that we face.
In our chats together, I always want to be practical and not just kind of deal at the theoretical level. Are there stories, or is there a story of someone that you know or have been involved with who's demonstrated that movement towards or through resilience?
Yes, I have this wonderful permission from somebody that I saw a long time ago to tell the story. And she was a girl that I was seeing for a little while, and she just seemed to be somebody that I was, when I was looking at her donut and looking at her strengths, I was thinking that, you know, she hasn't got a lot going for her. And so halfway through talking to her, I sat back and thought, my goodness, there's something about you that I just don't understand. And I was inquisitive. So what was it? What makes you so that you can cope? And I asked her, I said, you've managed to get through university, third year university, you haven't failed a subject, you've lived on your own, you've been able to cope with managing your own finances. What is it that helped you to get through? And she said to me that, and it always makes me a bit choked up when I think about it, but she said to me, that every year I get a letter from my kindergarten teacher.
Wow.
And that letter asks me how I'm coping, what I'm doing with my life. And I write back to her, and I'm never, ever going to let my kindergarten teacher down. Now, that relationship was the one thing that pulled her through.
What gold.
What gold.
What gold, not only for how she benefited from that and was able to be influenced by it, but if you're in a position where you're a teacher or a mentor or someone who's even a parent or
That's friend, exactly, uncle, right, auntie,
what a position of potential power you have for good.
That's right. And it's just that one letter. It was just a little letter, just a little, you know, a card, but it meant an enormous amount to her. Mm. It also linked for her her education. The teacher believed in her and knew that she could do something. And she also knew that she wanted to show that teacher that she could do something with her life in the future. So it sort of came back, that sense of belief.
I'd love it if that teacher was listening tonight.
I would love that teacher to be listening tonight.
If you
too.
Are, well done. Are there things that we can put around us to either thrive or to help us survive when life's tough stuff comes slamming up into our face?
Absolutely.
What are those things?
What some of the things are our communities. Sometimes it may be just doing something in our community that's helpful. Also doing something that has meaning and purpose. So you can go to work every day, but if it doesn't have any meaning and purpose for you, it may not be something that gives you that sort of that boost that you need.
Yes.
So finding something that has meaning and purpose where you actually make a difference in the world, that makes a huge difference when you're feeling really low. The other thing is also reaching out for people. Generally, when people feel depressed or they're going through tough times, they push people away because they think they need to be on their own in order to cope. But that's not helpful. What is actually helpful is to attract people who are probably easy people to deal with, not necessarily the hardest people to deal with.
Does it help to be helpful yourself to someone? Is that a
yes,
good thing factor in
yes.
resilience?
And practicing kindness and practicing reaching out. And sometimes when you're feeling low, it's the last thing you feel like doing. But just by even walking down the street and making someone smile can often give you a sense of boost of what you're going to be, you know, being able to cope with.
Yeah. Can I ask you finally, does prayer have a role in the resilience question?
Absolutely.
Or can it?
It can. Many people don't pray, but they may meditate. They may focus on, you know, their body, and it's what we call mindfulness in the area of psychology. But prayer itself is a form of mindfulness. But also we know that prayer is engaging the Holy Spirit. So when we're praying, we really are opening our minds up to what God's going to show us. And sometimes he tells us things that we really don't want to do. Like, you know what, you need to go and call that friend. Or yes, you probably should go to church tonight and not avoid that.
Yeah.
But prayer itself, I think, is a form of just helping us to focus and to take time.
Yeah.
And to sit with it.
Lynn Worsley, it's a great treat to talk with you. Thank you so much for coming in tonight.
And thank you for having
I
me.
I hope you have, and I'm sure you have, helped quite a few people in taking on the armour of resilience for the week ahead. And I look forward to our chat next week about resilience in families. There's a challenge.
Yes.
Lynn Worsley, thank you so much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.